getting a little bit cooler out there. And we're very, very much headed towards November temperatures. Got a lot on the show today, and I think that people understand that there is something going on from the left, as I mentioned, and it is, I mean, it's actually terrible to see it, to see them demand. You know, when I was talking to somebody yesterday, I said, I thought it was so hilarious that claim that Trump is a Satan, that he's the worst person ever, that he's right up there with Hitler, at the same time wants him to stop in his tracks and take them seriously, take their criticisms to heart, and to bring forward their candidates or their put in a cabinet that would make them happy. And I find it funny. I find it sad. I think about the last year, 8 years, as being totally wasted. Totally wasted. And you see Obama going out with his own strange style of cockiness and talking down to people. Acting like he did it all and then some. And I don't know if he's trying to be nice to Trump. At times it seems like he is, but you know, Obama can't really talk to anybody without talking down to him. He's a typical leftist. And it is absolutely so entertaining to see that these guys were really, I mean, you know, ism all comes into focus in this election. The attempt to try to control reality through rhetoric, just talking, and the claims of being morally superior while they're just do anything that they want, and which is kind of highlighted by Hillary taking a terrible candidate who's almost dead and insisting that she's the greatest candidate in history. I mean, they really did do that. No person who's ever run for office for president has ever been more qualified, is what they said. And now misusing statistics and the media to try to brainwash people into the idea that Trump is bad, he's been rejected, he's not politically correct, he's not popular, he loses everything that he does, every debate and everything else. And then he's got a 99.9999% chance of losing. And then he ends up winning. And these guys are just completely knocked out. I mean, if this was a boxing match, they wouldn't be slumped in the corner. They would be laying outside of the ring on the floor out cold and in need of brain surgery. You know, so these guys get completely torn to shreds. And so Trump is now in an interesting position where he has the right and the privilege to go ahead and put together whatever government that he wants, because he had so little support inside of the party, just a handful of people who believed in him. He had absolute opposition and just complete rejection. And I mean, if you think about the number of terrible things that people said about him and are still saying about him, and yet he made it through it. And so he doesn't owe anybody anything. He didn't get there because of lobbyists. Now, does this make him pure-hearted, poly purebred? No, it doesn't. But what it does is it removes a layer, and a very corrosive layer, that most politicians have. You know, all of these guys act the same. They'll get up there. I'm opposed to lobbyists. Nobody's bought me. I'm here to do the people's business. You know, the Tea Party people, we were elected to get rid of Obamacare and stand up to the president, blah, blah, blah. And then they go to Washington and do whatever everybody else does. There's no free thought there in Washington. So you've got this guy coming in and he's got a, you know, he's got a mandate from the people. You know, they're trying to tear it to shreds. They're trying to shut him down. They're doing whatever they can to invalidate him. Now, in the midst of this, I've got a pretty long analysis today of the fact that Obama has absolutely destroyed his legacy, or not his legacy, pardon me, his party. The legacy is in the midst of being dismantled. And if the president thinks that he's going to get up and give lectures to Trump and talk down to him and make jokes about him, and that Trump is going to follow him and do what he says, I mean, I think that Obama is really about to have his dentures kicked in by Trump. All right, so let me read you some. I mean, he's already had his dentures kicked in. Let's face it. You know? And let me read you some headlines this morning. And by the way, let me try to find my... Ooh, gosh, I hope I didn't leave my phone at home. I think I did leave my phone at home. Nice job. I was going to give you the temperature here, but it's a little bit cooler. Let me get some AccuWeather going here. And the temperature right now is 37 degrees, so it's cooler than I've felt this year. All right, so here's some of your headlines. Mega moon rising, and it's as big as it's been in say, 20 or 30 years. And stargazers are amazed by it from across the globe, triggering insomnia, extreme emotions, etc. And Giuliani, the favorite to be Secretary of State, I think that would be a brilliant choice. I like him. Buchanan says Trump's doctrine is America first. The Chinese currency, the yuan, tumbles. Sounds like it should be the Mexican currency, but Congress still trying to grapple with what is going on. Holy cow, tech stock meltdown. Amazon is down $35 billion. Now, the Trump has said that he will go after Amazon, I think, or implied that he might. Let me rephrase that. Said it's a problem because they're a monopoly. Think about how many bookstores have been shut down by Amazon. Now, defiance across America. Rahm Emanuel, who was recently had support levels in the single digits. Chicago will always be a sanctuary city. Los Angeles police chief, we won't deport. And so these people are going to fight any attempt to deport. Now, what is the deportation going to look like, if there is any, remains to be seen. We've got Reince Priebus as the chief of staff, and then we have Steve Bannon, who is going to be the number one, the number one person to give advice somehow. They think that is going to work, and it might, for all I know. Seems like I did have a Steve Bannon clip here, but let me see if I can find it for you real quick so you can have just a little sense of who this guy is. He took over Breitbart after Andrew Breitbart suddenly had a heart attack. And he, let me see here. I've got some, I just want a short little clip here. All right. I think, let me just give you something real quick on Steve Bannon so you have a feeling for which direction this administration is headed. Anyway, hope you're doing well. Good morning, by the way. And here is just a mini clip on Steve Bannon. who is going to be one of the most powerful people in the government, probably already is. Steve Bannon, the top advisor to Trump to balance against the chief of staff, who is Mr. Inside, Reince Priebus. CBS News. Oh, God, another one of these clips that doesn't have any sound. But I've got a backup here from the Today Show on Steve Bannon. But anyway, Trump has to have people to put his policy into place. And the theory is, as with all presidents, if he chooses the wrong people to be there, then his policies are going to be resisted. Here we go. All right, so this is a guy who was a military commander. He's a naval commander, and he also worked at Goldman Sachs, so he's not Mr. Outside as people think. I'm interested in people who go through the process and retain their independence and their conservative bona fides, like Ronald Reagan. I'm absolutely fascinated by these people because somehow they remain untainted. Not perfect, but not bought into the system. And all right, so I got a song here for you, one of the greatest songs ever written, a song for you, Leon Russell, and interpreted by Ray Charles. And starts off with a magnificent chromatic scale, I guess. 6:22 a.m. Las Cruces, AM 1450. Kelly O'Connell, so great to spend time with you this morning. 523-1450 and 805-6180. If you're a Trump critic, call in. If you're already part of the protesters, get your voice heard on here. Get your foolishness on record. We'll be right back. 6:26, it's the 15th, halfway through November. And if you know anything about intellectuals in political life, you'll know who Noam Chomsky is. No, it is not G-N-O-M-E, like an elf, like a larger elf. It's actually N-O-A-M Chomsky. And he's an expert on speech. And he came up with the theory that human beings are born ready to speak, which was very influential. Anyway, he, after becoming famous, became one of the most notable far-left intellectuals in the country. Now, and really a complete nutcase, in my opinion, but now he is calling the Republican Party the most dangerous organization in the history of the world, worse than the Bolsheviks, worse than the Nazis, worse than the Italian fascists, of course, you know, worse than Attila the Hun. They're going to rape and plunder everybody. It's sad, isn't it? It's sad when you lose and you can't take it. The people on the right have been losing for years and years. They took it in the shorts for so long. And did they sit there and go to the streets and protest and try to tip over all the apple carts? I mean, they have criticized Obama and said he's building death camps, that type of thing. But here's a little bit more on what they're calling Operation Chaos, the attempt for the left to do whatever they can to undermine the Trump presidency. This is from Alex Jones. Is Matt Damon giving a university commencement in his own dumb way? President of the European Parliament right here, Martin Schulz. Sergeant Schulz, I see nothing. Angela Merkel saying that we're all members of this community. We value democracy. Can't stand Angela Merkel, to be totally honest. She ruins her country, and then she goes and tries to lecture other people on how to run their countries, and she looks like a puppet. She's got two lines on her face next to her mouth that makes her look like a puppet. She is a complete imbecile. She's brought in millions of people into her country that don't have any European background, and now many, many of these people are starting to do criminal activity and assaults against her own people. And instead of minding her own business and realizing she's destroying her own country, she is going to give a speech to Donald Trump on how to act. It's crazy. Respect for the rights and dignity of men, independence of their origin, color of skin, religion. Putin. Anyway, so you've got all these kids out there that are absolutely flipping out. They've got these universities that are taking them like they're in kindergarten, and they're taking them down and giving them coloring books, Play-Doh. They're giving them comfort animals. They're going to lectures in which the school administration is trying to calm them down. They're going to psychiatrists. These people are not capable. Don't retire. This new generation is not capable of running anything except their mouths. It's crazy. These people are nuts. I just want you to know the people that are protesting in the streets are organized by George Soros companies, and they don't have the emotional fortitude to get up out of bed in the morning, put aside their teddy bears, get into their clothing, and go to school. They're emotional wrecks. We've raised a generation of complete emotional zombies. You know? All right, so we'll take a break here. 6:32, Kelly O'Connell, and local news right here. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523, 1450. So glad you tuned in with me this morning. There's so many good things coming up. You're going to be thrilled when you hear about how Barack Obama has totally raped and plundered and destroyed his own party. You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh like one of these crazy kids out in the street protesting. We'll be right back. It's 6:38 now. There's still protests going on out there. What exactly is behind the protests? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's George Soros that is getting together all of these disaffected youth and driving them out like cattle into these protests. And then, so how many people is George Soros responsible for killing over the years, you know? And Donald Trump is being accused of being the next Hitler, right? You know what I'm saying? Well, George Soros actually worked with the Nazis and said it was the greatest part of his life. I got that clip if you ever want to hear it. It's absolutely obscene. Check this out, though. Who's behind the anti-Trump protests? All right, so these people here is one of the greatest beliefs of the far left, far leftism, progressivism, is that if they do something, it's legitimate. If somebody else does something else, it's illegitimate. When Barack Obama got elected, if he had been protested by the right, they would have been all just totally apoplectic, astounded, shocked. But when they go out and they protest Trump to delegitimize him, to prove that there's this national movement that's rising up to reject his presidency, this is classic leftism. That's a real movement. It's salt of the earth. It's coming out of the grassroots, although it's obviously not. And it's George Soros paying for it. I'll have a little clip from 60 Minutes when we come back, where George Soros admits that the best time of his life was working with the Nazis to take stuff from his fellow Jews. Absolutely shocking. And this is the person who thinks he's the Messiah. He believes he's a Messiah. He is a quintessential example of the leftist messiahs, liberal messiahs that I've been talking about. There's no God, but he's here to help save humanity. It's really scary. 6:45 on the button, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450, and we'll be back to hear about Soros' evil. All right, so we've got here... I was just kind of looking through the New Mexico stories. All right, so here is Rush Limbaugh's request to Obama: shut down the protests. These are your people. But I first, let me first play that clip that I've got for you from George Soros saying that his favorite time of his life was Nazism. This is from 60 Minutes, like in 1990, a long time ago. George Soros. All right, so can you imagine that? He's a 14-year-old kid, doesn't feel bad for his own people. He's going in a cart to people's houses and taking all their stuff as they're let off to the gas chambers. And he doesn't feel bad. As a matter of fact, it's the greatest experience of his life. That's the guy that's leading the protest. 6:51. Thought you might want to hear about that. 6:52. Pardon me. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450. George Soros is an evil SOB. And that's who's leading the left from outside of America. All right, so from an article, a look at Trump's immigration plans by the numbers. He's made it his top issue. All right, so here's from the Associated Press. Immigrants in the country illegally, about 11 million. Criminal immigrants, as of 2012, the government estimated that 1.9 immigrants were criminals and could face deportation. Criminal immigrants in the country illegally. Migration Policy Institute in Washington believes that about 820,000 of the criminal immigrants are here illegally, or almost a million. Deportations under Barack Obama, 2.5 million. Deportation costs. Each deportation costs an average of about $12,000 per person, so 12,500 times 2.5 million. Immigration court backlog, more than 521,000 cases are pending in federal immigration, according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse at Syracuse University. Immigrants with pending deportation orders, 88,128 last year. Border fence, about 650 miles of fencing is already in place along the border of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Length of Mexican borders, 2,000 miles. So we got 1,350 miles to go to put up that border if that happens. Border patrol agents, 18,321 patrol the U.S. border, although many are doing paperwork. Arrested at the border, 408,000, almost half a million people were arrested trying to cross the border illegally during the 2016 budget year ending in September. So that's what we're dealing with in terms of the numbers. Now, what would a deportation look like under the president? According to him, it is going to be illegal criminals, 2 to 3 million to start off with, although that would be down the road, it would seem to me, a little ways in any event. And 659 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450. Really great to hang out with you this morning. Spend a little time. Give me a call. Get your opinion on. If you think Trump's a monster, a Hitler, call in. I'd love to hear your opinion. I'd especially love it if you're still crying like Kathy and raging like Frankie. Call in and share your tears with us. We would be greatly encouraged. Be right back after a break on the hour. Well, good morning, 7:06. And we are kind of going through a lot of the stuff that's happening in Washington, trying to figure out what the near future holds. What does the near future hold for us in Dona Ana County, I would ask you. And I was not really aware until yesterday, believe it or not, that New Mexico does not have a lot of, according to the statistics, doesn't have a lot of illegals here, because it is, and don't take this personally, of course, but because of the fact that there's not a lot of jobs here, and the studies show us that the illegals tend to be involved in chain immigration. They will follow somebody that they're related to or somebody that they know to a place where there's work. It makes perfect sense that that would be true. But the upshot is, even if they deported a lot of people, it may not hit New Mexico as hard as it would Texas or Arizona or Colorado, some of these other places, California. And I have never really taken seriously the Donald's threat to deport 11 million people because I don't know how they would do it. I mean, you would have to get an immigration party, anti-immigration party, and, you'd almost have to make a special marshals or whatever to go out and find the people and kind of uproot them. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it would be helpful to the country if they got rid of criminal and dangerous illegals. I mean, I think everybody would agree with that. Now, why the president himself allowed these people to come in and stay cannot be a compliment to the rest of us Americans. And the same reason that he doesn't get up and ask for the protesters to stop protesting and he doesn't, you know, that he says there's two sides to Black Lives Matter. In other words, on the one hand, of course, he feels sorry for the cops, I guess. On the other hand, if the police would only think about the other side of the pillow, the other side of the coin, then they would realize that if they were nicer to the people they were arresting, they wouldn't have as many problems. I mean, Obama actually says stuff like this. He's obviously totally at ease with revolution, with riots, with lashing out at authority. And that's, I think, one of the things that's going to go down in his legacy is people are going to study this guy and realize that when there were events going on that were chaotic, he didn't stand up and call out to people to stop. Typically, he just kind of looked and nodded and, you know, he's another bystander. The president has no functional leadership skills, as far as I can tell. He doesn't want to be that person. He would rather be the community organizer standing up and advocating for a dissent and lecturing people on the inequality of society. He doesn't want to get up and represent everybody. He's never had that interest. He's never and it doesn't appear to bother him that he is disinterested in that. And as if you recall during when they had the leak of hemorrhaging all that oil in the Gulf, he didn't organize the response. He went golfing in various places. He seemed very uncomfortable when there was a crisis. And I think that he's kind of an anti-leader, and we see that the end of the being an anti-leader is the lack of leadership, the lack of economic growth, the wasting of 8 years lecturing people, talking down to people. Well, he's doing it on the way out of office. Here's a little bit more from him. All right, so the president had certain things he wanted to do that he was not able to pull off, and I would say a lot of that would have to do with his approach to leadership, which is, you know, I mean, I'll be totally honest. I think Obama's one of the worst leaders I've ever seen, because while people like him personally, he doesn't inspire individuals to go forward. And the things that he stands for are terrible. I mean, you're bringing all these Muslims over flight by flight, day by day, and you're not bringing Christian Muslim, you know, or Christian Middle Easterners. That's just terrible. I mean, we've got a Christian country for the most part. Why does he want to Muslimize this country? Number one. Number two, what about these poor Christians that are getting beheaded and set on fire and drowned over there just because of their beliefs? And this guy doesn't seem to have the tiniest bit of compassion, genuine compassion for anybody. It's all about his political beliefs. Here's a little bit more on what a healthy Democratic Party would look like. So nobody's protesting this election based on voter fraud. So it's a genuine election, even according to these people. And yet you've got a guy getting up saying that democracy is the way forward, and he doesn't do anything about the protests. Isn't that appalling? All right, here is the one of the theme for the second hour is how the Democratic Party behind this demagogue, this talentless demagogue, Obama, I should say he's talented, but he didn't develop his skills. That would be, I think, more appropriate. A very talented guy who didn't develop his skills, and that's why he had to repeatedly go to the presidential decree to get his stuff done. Here's George Will on the decimation, and we do have a phone call here. Hold on a second. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you doing this morning?
Good, Jim. Sounds like a better phone connection. What's going on?
Well, you know, I was just listening to the clip that you played, and you know the way he speaks. He starts and stops. It's almost like he's wandering, looking for what to say next because he's not quite sure.
He wandered. I'm sorry. Go ahead. He wandered lonely as a cloud, as the great Wordsworth wrote. He is a lost guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is. There's a movie called The Lost Boys, but all these people, they're lost people. You know, a lot of these young kids out there from grade school and up, they're out there because of one reason, because it's something to do, and they are not doing anything in the schools to stop them. When you start getting passing grades because you went out and protest, so there's something wrong with the whole society, and that's what's going on.
Well,
but, you know, George Soros is a soulless person.
You heard that clip? Did you hear the clip I played?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah, it's sad.
It's sad that you would go out and take part in Nazism and say, I had nothing to do with it. I was just watching. I was just a bystander. It, by the way, it was the best time of my life. And in the meantime, I'm going to fix the world. That guy is a mentally ill individual who's got $23 billion to try to, which he uses to try to upend democracy around the world.
Well, there are videos out in many places showing busloads of people being brought in. And for Kathy and Frankie, who probably need pins and diapers because of all this, but they need to watch those videos because these people are getting paid $1,500 a person. They're getting so much a week. I mean, $1,500 a week per person, and so much an hour to come in. They're busing these people in. And we are supposed to think that these are just regular people.
Well,
you know, when we've got people organizing in the streets and all these different places, I grant you there are probably some disinfected, you know, liberals.
Well, I mean,
but these are mostly anarchists, Kelly. You know that, and I know that.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, most of these are students who are totally lost, like you're saying, and they have organizers that come in and say, "Don't just sit there feeling sorry for yourselves. Help us to protest." Most of the people are lost and clueless protesters that are not even really sure what they're protesting, and they are being led by a professional class it always amazes me. People don't study Marxism at all. Within Marxism, there is an actual category of leadership called the vanguard of the proletariat. It's a university educated class of leadership that is supposed to, you know, put these events together. It's exactly what's going on right here.
You know, I'll leave with this, but there's the manifesto starting with the Communist Party. If you've looked at it, I'm sure you have. But the key ingredients they want to do is, number one, remove God from society, which they have done successfully so far. Number two, infiltrate the universities and educational system. And number three is do away with guns, which have all, thank good Lord above, that this was hopefully defeated in this election. Put these people back, because a lot of these, like Soros especially, and I'm going to quit after this, when he passes on, he's going to meet his true maker.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jim. Have a good day. All right, folks, we'll take a break here, and we'll come back and play a clip for you that I think you'll find interesting. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about the remarkable autopsy of the Democratic Party. It's become a regional party of New York and California, and where most of its votes are, and the vast expanses of the country are not interested in far leftism. They're rejecting it, and the left can't stand it. And this mass of protesters is truly a zombie army of dissent. Leon Russell, who just passed away, my cricket. 719 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And no, I'm not talking about his phone. We'll be right back. 523-1450. Also, Willie Nelson with him. Majority of anti-Trump protesters arrested in Portland were not registered or didn't vote. But, of course, if you talk to them, they'd have some explanation of their stupid hypocrisy. All right, so Hillary Clinton scapegoating James Comey, saying that it is his fault that she lost, and they have a chart to prove it. Of course, they also had charts to prove that Donald Trump had no chance of winning. All right, so let's get into this a little bit here. You might be interested to know about the autopsy of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was getting up and talking about how divided then there was a civil war in the Republican Party. And the real truth is that the Democratic Party has been dying. It's like someone in a wheelchair that keeps getting limbs amputated. And it is in dire shape and will take decades to recover if it can, because of the loss of leadership at the state level. It's been astonishing. But here's George Will. All right, so people are tired of being told what to do, but I think what people are really infuriated at least I can speak for myself, is people coming up to me or through the media talking down to me and treating me as if I flunked out of first grade. And these are people that cannot enter or engage in a debate. They don't have any skill set to do that for the most part. Or if they do, they could be a university professor. They might have expertise in a particular area, but since socialism is a failure, they can't defend their ideas. They're hopeless in a debate. Now, they pass themselves off as the greatest arguers and debaters in history, because what far leftism is one lie after another. I mean, they build upon all of these falsehoods. And then when you see an election like this, the total collapse could not be more obvious. And the hollowed out house of cards nature of the Democratic Party becomes obvious, but because they elected a narcissist who gets up there and says, look at me, I'm the only one who's able, you know, I'm retiring, but I'm the only one who was able to win. And now we need to do some soul searching. I mean, what he said about his own party was terrible, but was true. And yet he was involved in supporting Hillary Clinton, probably the worst candidate in modern political history. All right, so there's an article from Commentary Magazine called Baird Ruined Choirs, How Barack Obama Wrecked the Democratic Party. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take a break for news and come back and get into that. You're going to find it fascinating, though, absolutely shocking, to the extent that Barack Obama, who is a failed politician, he's personally successful in getting elected, but other than that, he's a completely failed politician. His entire legacy is on the verge of being pushed into the Grand Canyon, and he has nobody to thank but himself, because he refused to grow as a president. He refused to learn how to use his office to the best effect. His one legislative achievement is about to be pulled out root and branch. Whatever is left over will be little weeds that have grown out from where this great tree of Obamacare used to be. 7:30, actually a very sickly tree, but be that as it may, it's harder to get rid of legislation than it is presidential decrees. 7:30, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. All right, so we are talking about the destruction of the Democratic Party from a level that you probably wouldn't even believe, because there's been so much smoke and mirrors that have been put out there up to this point, and this kind of false narrative, the narrative being that leftism is transcendent and has achieved remarkable levels in the political correctness movement, then is this ethic, it's this Ten Commandments that is kind of distributed out there, and disagree with it at your peril. And we will use this to jam everything down your throat. Every single thing that you might disagree with on a religious level or a personal, intellectual, moral level, common sense, you're either going to choke on, you know, you're going to choke and swallow on this stuff, or you're going to be destroyed. And those days, I think, are coming to an end. And people don't like to live like that. And I think that's probably one of the main things that has driven the rejection of Clinton. It's a larger rejection. It's a rejection of the ideas in the Democratic Party that are so harmful to not just America, but so obviously are an assault against common sense. We do not need a 500% or 600% increase in individuals from a jihad zone that we cannot background check, for example. One of her ideas. I mean, you know, and you really need to wonder if Hillary Clinton might have struggled at some point with insanity. Her ideas and her behavior so crazy. Here's Charles Krauthammer. Obama completely destroyed his presidency with liberal overreach. The party is now decimated. And I'll tell you, from just talking to my sister and a lot of the other liberal people that I know, there is a gut sense that they need to. There is within liberalism, within far leftism, I should say, not the kind of liberalism that the Democratic people that listen to the show believe in, which is, I would call, safety net liberalism. The argument being that we need to have a strong safety net for the people that can't make it, the people who fall, which has always been a part of the American way of doing things. There's always been a safety net. As a matter of fact, we're the country that it really invented it in the way that we did, although the initial ideas came out of Germany in the Weimar Republic. But be that as it may, nobody has really had the safety net, but we usually did it through the church. And what the far leftists wanted to do is push the church out of the way and take over so that they could claim that they were the true party of charity. All right, so here's this article from Commentary Magazine. Bear ruined choirs. In 1723, Christopher Wren, who's considered to be, I think, the greatest architect in the history of Britain, was buried in St. Paul's Cathedral, and a building that he had rebuilt following the devastating Great Fire of London. His epitaph, his marking on his gravestone, says in Latin, "Si momentum requiris circumspeci." If you wish to see his monument, look around you. In 2017, Barack Obama leaves the White House after 8 years, during which time he presided over the Democratic Party. If you wish to see his monument, look around. And so here's just kind of a summary of this article. There are some 8,000 elected officials in the United States at the state and federal levels. Between 2009, when Barack Obama took office, and today as he prepares to leave, more than 1,100 Democratic elected officials have lost their jobs to Republicans. The number is unprecedented. Barack Obama entered the White House with his party in control of 62 of the nation's 99 legislative chambers. So we've got 50 states, and in the 50 states is one House and one Senate. They were in charge of 62 out of basically the 100. By January 2015, Republicans are now in control of 68. So there's a 36-state switch on that. Obama then made it his personal mission to help reverse the damage done by this loss of 1,000 Democratic state legislatures. And he endorsed 150 down-ballot candidates in 2016, even campaigning for some of them. The result? The Democrats did worse than they ever have. On election night in 2016, Republicans took full control of the legislatures in Minnesota and Iowa. The Democratic Party's sole remaining legislative majority in the South, in Kentucky, fell to the GOP for the first time in 100 years. In North Carolina, the GOP held on to a veto-proof majority in state legislature, despite statewide losses of an unpopular Republican governor. The GOP prevented Democrats from retaking the state Senate in New York. There were gains in Nevada and New Mexico, and that was it. And as if you recall, there were these crazy ads that were brought in against Dr. McMillan and Andy Nunez, which helped push these people out of office and retake the House. So the massacre of Democratic officials goes far beyond state legislatures. Democrats held 31 governorships in 2009. Now they hold 17. Think about that. 17 out of 50. And they've been kicked out of Missouri, Vermont, New Hampshire recently. Following this year's election, Republicans have control of all levers of government in 25 states. Complete control by one party in half the states. And so they talk about three stages here. Let's take a break and I'll bring you back through the three stages. I don't want to overwhelm you here, but here is a little more Leon Russell. 742 RIP Leon. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 Kelly O'Connell on KOBE. 523 1450 to call in. We'll be right back. The writer of this article on the demise of the Democratic Party, which is called Bear Ruin Choirs, is John Podertz, who comes from a very influential Jewish conservative family out of New York. Now, he is talking here about the three levels of carnage. And the third level, or the three stages, in stage one, the Democrats were decimated in the House of Representatives. And the carnage at the state level began from Inauguration Day in 2009 until July 2010. The Obama White House oversaw the passage of, one, the stimulus package, the most expensive piece of legislation in American history, two, the second half of TARP-TALF financial bailout bill, three, the Dodd-Frank financial regulatory reforms, which were a total disaster. Having done some research and writing in the economic sector, I can say when I was in Miami, and the Affordable Care Act, Dodd-Frank, and bills like that have totally decimated the market. This is Kelly. This is Kelly. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Kelly, I'm sorry to call you again. This is Jim. I wanted to comment on something you said.
Uh-huh.
And that is the state of New Mexico reverting back to the very same people, thanks to the progressives from the east coming in here, but putting the very same people back in office, basically, that made us one of the poorest states in the nation, one of a couple that didn't go through. And the last thing is, Governor Martinez, you Republicans, so am I voted for you. Never again. You did not help.
Thanks, Jim. All right, folks. Well, I mean, according to this article, the Democratic Party is just in total, it's in ICU right now. Dodd-Frank is a continuation of the ideas such as, and I wasn't in Miami when this came out, but a continuation of well-meaning but misguided legislation like Sarbanes-Oxley that have decimated to a certain extent, the use of foreign direct investment, FDI, for foreigners to come and invest in the economy, made it harder. So it was too much, too fast, and the Tea Party was a result. Midterm 2010, the Democrats lost 63 House seats. We've got another call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Unbelievable. In the incredible great words of the great John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. The Democrats,
Frankie.
Me, liberals,
Frankie.
Are not going.
Oh, I understand, but yeah, your the connection's a little muffled. Do you have a a pair of short. You know, do you have something between you and the phone?
No. Well, just a little bit of airspace for me. It's my brand new phone. Can you hear me now?
Well, all right, go ahead. All right, so the Democratic Party will never die, just like rock and roll. Go ahead.
That's right. Rock and roll is never dead. It's a classic.
Rock and roll is dead, but, you know, hip-hop is the big music. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, this is amazing. Barack, the great Barack, who's going to go down as one of the top five greatest presidents of the United States of America ever, has got like 66, 65 days left. And you and all the rest of the conservative radio ranters are still talking about him instead of talking about your boy Trumper and the failure he's doing right now. He can't even get out of the box.
Oh, I'm sorry. Couldn't hear you, Frankie, over the laughter. You're joking, right? It is Obama who is the success. He's on the verge of getting all these presidential decrees that he so smugly put into effect, getting them wiped out. But people are going to worship him in the future, right? To know that you've taken your loss so well, anything you're doing, other therapy you're doing to get the monkey off your back?
No, no problem. I feel absolutely giddy with just glee with knowing how you conservatives are going to so fall on your face. You think that, you know, just because you won.
Hey, Frankie, your party is absolutely wiped out at the state level. That's why I don't think you really understand. Most Democrats don't understand. It's been like a virus has repeatedly come through your community. What are you laughing at? Hey, Frankie, thanks for the laughs. Anything else?
No, that's it. You have a good one.
You too, brother. Bye-bye. All right. Well, people, you know, people deal with loss in different ways, and saying that we're going to run everything forever is one way of doing it. All right. So back to this. So the Tea Party comes in, 63 houses are lost in the Democrats. They were wiped out in one shot in 2010. They lost 4.2 million votes. Well, anyway, they lost millions of votes, something like 8 or 10 million votes that just disappeared. And so anyway, I don't want to get into any more of this article, but the facts are out there. You can deny it if you want to, but the facts are out there. And even Obama is admitting that people are deeply disaffected. If they're disaffected, who's been in office for 8 years? We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, sounds to me like Frankie's had to eat an awful lot of crow in the last week.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, you have a good day.
You too, bye-bye. All right, so here is an article by Rich Lowry, who's saying, this is out of the Washington Post, Chris Saliza, and he says, think about it, why was Clinton essentially handed the nomination in early 2015? She'd already failed once as a front runner, and she represented a political theory, Clintonism, that was clearly running out of gas and increasingly tribal and polarized. Not to mention she'd be 68 on election day. The reason for the Clinton or bust strategy was simple. There simply wasn't anyone else. Vice President Biden was a possibility, but the death of his eldest son sidelined him. Besides Biden and Clinton, name someone else who looked ready to make a serious run at a national nomination. There isn't anyone. Trust me, I've thought about it virtually every possibility. And contrast that to what the Republican field looked like as of 2016. A dozen and a half candidates, including a handful of something, 40-something rising stars, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, Bobby Jindal, Ted Cruz. So the party is absolutely decimated. And they're talking about the parties being like a military. If you continually lose your lower ranks in these state races, then there's no way for you to bring up a leadership class. Here's from Obama, people deeply disaffected. Well, so that's what I'm talking about. The president himself is admitting the problem. Look, this party is absolutely devastated. You can pretend it's not, Frankie, but it's unless you guys are willing to deal with it, there's no way you're going to survive. You can't survive a situation where you can't even admit what's happened. Instead of going around and telling people for years how brilliant you are and how effective liberalism is and how the people that disagree with you are stupid, uneducated, religious imbeciles who are totally unenlightened, I have a suggestion. Start over. Stop insulting people. Start working on your liberalism. Find something other than socialism to present to people, and maybe you'll have a shot. Anyway, thanks for listening in. Kelly O'Connell, take you out with some Leon Russell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Hope you have a great day. Ciao.